are now tuned in to Shotgun Sports USA, powered by Winchester. Recorded in the U.S. and streaming all over the world, your host Justin Barker talks to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, championship-winning coaches, gun clubs, world-class target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. If you're into clay target sports, you're at the right place for insider information from some of the best in the world every single week. Subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
Being a brand name in the clay target industry, Rick Hemingway has said, "Have you ever noticed almost all major sporting events are being run by Pro-Matic traps?" I thought about that statement, and he's right, and you may want to consider that before making your next purchase. Rick is the largest Pro-Matic dealer specializing in individual and commercial trap sales. Rick provides skeet, trap, five-stand, and sporting clays designs, installs, and service. He also offers accessories such as solar panels, wireless release systems, as well as the hottest item on the market, the ClayBot by Renair Products. Visit BackwoodsQuailClub.com or give him a call at 843-546-1466. Castellani shooting vests are manufactured in Italy and internationally recognized by elite shooters as the most popular lightweight shooting vest on the market. Castellani vests are especially known for their Italian styling and superior craftsmanship and quality, making them a vest of choice for all shooting disciplines. Ultimate Shooting Accessories is the exclusive supplier of Castellani vests in the United States. Visit them online at ultimateshootingaccessories.com for more information and to place your order. Shotgun sports is a passion for many, and the same is true for my next guest. He started shooting at the age of 9 and has competed on many different levels within the sport. He started in 4-H and SCTP and then moved on to Lindenwood University, where he holds several titles. He was also a part of ESPN's Great Outdoor Games and the PSCA. Now in his 30s, he's the president of Fort Worth, Texas premier shotgun range, Defender Outdoors Clay Sports Ranch. Please welcome Travis Mears. Hey Travis, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, Justin. Hey, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, man. I've talked about it a lot, finally getting around to doing it, and I'm glad I am, because I want you to teach me how to do some trick shooting.
Well, that's the easy part. Just don't ask me about sporting clays.
So, for people that don't know who you are, tell them who you are, what you do, and where you're from.
Yeah. Travis Mears, born and raised in Fort Worth, Texas. Pretty much been in and around this area my whole life, except for short stint in Missouri for my education. Always been shooting. We started shooting when I was young, 9-10 years old. Got competitive with NSCA soon thereafter that. And man, I've been passionate about shotgun sports and every aspect of it since then. And early on, I wanted to go into the business world and try to make enough money to continue this passion. And eventually I found a route to mix the two together. And so, happily married, 2 kids, and, just rock and roll, having a good time.
So let's back up a second. You said you got involved in shooting. You were 9 or 10 years old.
Yes, sir.
All right. So how did you get involved in shooting? Was it your family or?
Well, when I say 9 or 10, that's really when it was my turn to pick up the shotgun.
Okay.
There's a lot of stories of, as my dad was shooting competitively, in the late 80s and 90s, he would take me to the gun club, put me in a walker, tie me to a pole. And, as he was shooting, I'd go in a circle one way and he'd unwind me, and his next round, I'd go the other direction. And so, I grew up, you know, around shotgun shooting, all the time. And then eventually it was, I was big enough and it was time for me to, you know, to kind of file in. And there was a group of, guys, you know, shooting buddies with my dad, just took me under their wing. And it didn't take me long to be shooting with them and better than them. And so, dad saw, kind of what was on the horizon and took it and ran with it.
So just being around it for, you know, your whole life, literally, it's just, right. You were kind of just used to doing it and just kind of eased your way into it. Like, it's like it was natural.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah, and there's a funny story. I was probably 9 years old, 8 years old. My dad was drag racing at the time and also, you know, shooting, and both were hobbies, but dad doesn't do anything, you know, halfway. And so, he asked my older sister, you know, should I buy him a dragster or a shotgun? And, I've always kind of held it against her, but she said shotgun. And so, you know, right after that, you had a Beretta 303 20 gauge and was rocking and rolling.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. My family's been into drag racing. I grew up around that. It's, I'm glad that they didn't put a car or let me drive one, because my brother's still doing it. I think it's just as addictive as shotgun shooting, if not more.
Well, I figured it might have got it out of my system. So now, you know, I never got to sit in a race car, so I just race everywhere I go now.
So when you shot your first registered tournament, you were fairly young then.
I was pretty young. I think I was probably 11.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have to go back and look, but I was probably 11. You know, and back then it was little clubs, you know, Lone Star Sporting Clays. Everybody in Fort Worth around, you know, knows it was home for everybody. Mike and Donna Llewellyn and Big Johnson, Johnny Johnson's place. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the clubs that stand out to me back in the day in Backwoods up in Decatur. All three of them are, you know, non-existent at this point, but all just like, you got to go. Every Saturday and Sunday that they had a shoot, you had to go. And I feel like I grew up at those ranges and really learned how to be a competitor, you know, shooting against the adults.
Yeah. Did you get into 4-H and SETP?
I did. So as Dad was getting me started and Mom too, he was trying to find a way for me to, you know, continue shooting, but not, you know, always have to compete against the older guys. And so, he did his research and figured out how, the 4-H world worked. And, I think it's more readily available now, but at the time there wasn't really anything going on in our area as far as 4-H goes. And so he took it upon himself. We started a team, with four shooters, me and my best friend, Jake Montgomery, and two other guys, John and Chad Idy. And so we started a 4-H team, and we went to the first state championship, just me and Jake, and did really well. And then next thing you know, the team is, you know, 60-plus kids, and we're winning state and national titles every year and just a force to be reckoned with. And like I said earlier, Dad doesn't do anything halfway. And so this team kind of grew its own legs and really turned into something special. And I think, you know, from age 10 to really when I graduated high school and was kind of forced out of the youth shooting, man, we were, when we showed up to a shoot, people did not get excited. You know, we were coming and we were going to win something.
Right. Right. So being involved in these youth shooting programs, what kind of an impact did being a part of these have on your shooting as a young adult and an adult?
Well, there was so many lessons learned. And I say that all the time. Anytime you pick up a shotgun, whether you're a kid or an adult, you immediately become more responsible. But those were also kind of the values that the 4-H and Scholastic Clay Target program, those were the values that were kind of taught, expected. And so knowing how to hold a meeting and knowing how to talk to adults and knowing how to react in certain situations were all things that, you know, we were taught. And, you know, I know that it made me a better person. I know that the shotgun sports has made me a better person, because from a very young age, I had to be an adult. You know, we're playing an adult sport, and so living up to those expectations. You know, 4-H and SCTP, those programs offer so much, not only competition, but they, you know, they allow you to travel around and shoot against folks all over the state and all over the country. And I still have friends all over the place that I shot against 20 years ago. And we crossed paths, and it's really cool to think back on being 10 years old shooting on a skeet field, you know.
You stop doing this and you get a scholarship going to Lindenwood. Tell me about your right. Tell me about that experience.
So collegiate shooting has been around forever, obviously, but there was never any schools that offered any kind of scholarships or offered any kind of promotion. I mean, there was nothing out there. And so, I guess when I was probably about a sophomore in high school, Lindenwood was starting their program, and John Idy, who I talked about earlier, he went up there and was having a good time and doing really well. And so when it was my time, they offered me a scholarship. And to be honest with you, probably like a lot of people kids in my situation, Dad, I don't want to go to UT or Texas Tech or A&M and, go where all my buddies are going. And he had a good conversation with me. He's like, son, we've invested so much time and money and effort and savings and into the sport. You're going to go up there. And if you don't like it, regroup after that. So I packed my stuff and moved to Missouri. And, man, that was the best thing I ever did. Getting away from home, having to meet new people. My friends from the Lindenwood shooting team are still, best friends that I talk to every day.
Yeah.
The 5 years up there, I'd go back and do any day. A lot of cool, good school, good program. And then, let's talk about shooting. We were on a dynasty team. So I was a part of 5 national championships, collegiate team national championships, and then a bunch of individual stuff in there too. And then get to travel all over the place. We'd jump in a bus or jump in a 15-passenger van and just drive all over and shoot tournaments for the university and funded by the university. And so great experience, opened up doors all over the place. It was really cool.
For some reason, every time you hear Lindenwood, it seems your college shooting, Lindenwood's always in that conversation. I mean, why is that?
When you're at the top, everybody wants a piece of you. And you can go in the books, and I don't think that there's ever been a team in any sport that's won 15 straight national championships. And so it was and there's still, a force to be reckoned with. I think we took second or third this year. I still follow it closely and still do a lot with and for the team. But when you've got a dynasty team like that, I think, folks got you in their sights. And I think all the other schools took note. It took a while, but they took notes of what was going on up there as far as the recruiting goes, as far as the talent that was coming to Lindenwood in each discipline, whether it's skeet, trap, international games, sporting clays. The other teams have taken notes and they're catching up, and there's a lot of really good shooters out there. And so it's really a head-to-head battle now. We used to run away with it, man. We used to run away with it, 70, 100 targets at the end of the deal. It was just kind of, collect our trophies and go.
Yeah, you shouldn't have even went. Just give me the send us the trophies. So what did you go to college for?
I went to school for a business degree.
Okay.
And maintained that focus through. Ended up, the university offered me a deal to come back as a kind of an assistant coach, but also get to compete with the team. And I got to stay an extra year and get my master's. And so, it was a quick year to get my master's. But I got to shoot one more year, and that was incredibly valuable for me because, the first 3 years, 4 years, really, when I go down to nationals, man, I wanted that overall so bad. And so, and back then sporting clays wasn't involved in it. It wasn't counted as far as the high overall goes. And so, I can hold my own on skeet and trap field and bunker trap, but international skeet used to always get me, and it was always my downfall. And so going back that last year, I really set my mind to it and got some instruction with Haley Dunn and some other folks, and and really devoted myself to learning international skeet, and went back that year and shot a good score, ended up winning the international skeet national championship. And with that and the rest of my games being as solid as I had been years before, I was able to take that individual national title that year. And so I really would have missed out if I had not stayed back that one last year and got my master's, and I also had the chance to get that national championship.
Yeah, so international skeet. What was the hardest part about that? I've never shot that, but is it the mount or is it the speed of the target?
Well, most people that have shot with me know that I'm typically a high gun shooter. I mean, I'll come out of the pocket, you know, for a bird you get to see for a long time, or a big incomer or something. But for the most part, I'm a high gun shooter, and I've had custom stocks built by Winnie Custom Gun Stocks in Missouri since I was about 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And I used to build the stocks for my style of shooting. So they were long. I mean, I had a stock close to 17 inches at one point. Wow. High combs. And, you know, I leaned into the gun really, you know, really far. And so it made me shoot across my body a little bit. And so, yeah, I had a really long length of pull. But I knew if I was going to win that national championship international skeet, I was going to have to change some stuff. And so started shortening up my stock, started really working on the gun mount. You know, like I said, went to Haley and really worked on hold points and foot position, getting the gun up into the line and efficiently moving with the target is the key to that game. It's cool because I practice it so much at that time. I haven't shot international skeet since 2010, but I went and shot a skeet tournament a couple weeks ago, and I stepped on the pad, and I literally could visualize where my feet go, where the hole points were, how my hands were going to be. Like, I practiced enough where it was kind of like jumping on a bike, you know?
All right, so go into trick shooting. How did you get involved with this? Was it an accident? Was it on purpose? Or how did that happen?
Well, I think it was, I guess you could call it an accident. I think at the end of a skeet round or sporting clays round, you always got 5 or 10 extra shells in your pocket. And so, you know, I'd say, "Hey, Dad, throw me one. I'm going to, you know, shoot from the hip." And so doing that over the years, I'd hit a few and then I'd hit a little more. And then, you know, then I'd start shooting doubles on the skeet field. And so I could hold my own on the skeet field pretty good. And it was fun to me. It was natural, very instinctual. And I just thought there was a lot of wow factor to it. So, I was shooting for Beretta at the time, and, I guess I was about 17, and at the time, John Bowers managing the team. And, I told him at the Nationals, "Hey, I think I want to do some trick shooting." And, you know, I was a 17-year-old little snot-nosed kid. And so he kind of laughed and whatever. About a month later, he called and said, "Hey, I got your first show booked in Grand Rapids, Michigan for the Rough Grouse Society. I'll send you over the details." And as you can imagine, I turned white, started sweating, and was trying to figure out how this was going to work. And so, man, I went to the range, stacked up some shells, stacked up some targets, and taught myself how to do some trick shooting. And that show, it snuck up on me pretty quick, but I actually did really well. And I got really lucky because once I got up there, this blizzard set in. And when it was time for me to go out and do the show, there was only about 10 or 15 people that wanted to brave the weather. And so I got out there and threw the birds up into the wind. They, you know, they took off the opposite direction, and I hit a few and missed a few. And my glove, I used to wear receiver gloves because the barrel would get so hot. And they were freezing to the gun, and it ended up being a really cool show because of, you know, what all was going on, and it was a great icebreaker for my first show. And so it kind of took off from there, and did a lot of shows over the next couple of years. And then, you know, once my availability opened up, it's even taken off crazier. I average anywhere from 20 to 30 shows a year all over the country. It's a really cool thing for me because I'm super passionate about it. It comes very easy to me, natural, instinctual. it's funny because people always ask me, well, how much do you shoot? How much do you practice? And I can't remember the last time I practiced any kind of trick shooting. But when it comes to sporting clays, I feel like I'm on the grindstone all the time. If I just drop it to the hip, I'd probably hit more.
You know, we had a podcast with Donya Vizzy not that long ago, and she said that, she does some trick shooting out on the skeet field, and she said that by her trick shooting, it's improved her game.
It does make you look at the bird. You know, if I'm out practicing sporting clays and there's a ripping crosser out there, I just can't find it, can't figure out what it takes. I just drop it to the hip and smack it on the first time, take it back up to the shoulder and try to duplicate it, you know? If you just look at it and let the gun go, this game gets really easy. But for me, from the shoulder, that's always been tough.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
You miss a target, can do it from the hip. That's so
how, it's true, true.
So kind of go into a routine of a show. Like what do you ever put new stuff into one, or what do you try to do? How do you get the audience going with one of these shows?
Well, and that's the thing. As a trick shooter, the entire show is about the crowd. You know, it's not about me, it's not about the shots, it's about the crowd. And it took me a while to learn that, you know, because I'd go to show and I'd do all this crazy stuff that I'd worked really hard at and nobody else could do it. And the crowd would kind of give me a golf clap.
Yeah.
And then I'd throw a watermelon up and they would absolutely lose it. And so that happened enough to where I was like, all right, you know, this is not about me. This is about promoting the sport. This is about making people smile. And this is about entertaining the crowd. For whatever event that I'm at and promoting my sponsors and partners. And so over the years, I've tweaked the show. I've added things. There's a few things in my show that nobody else in the world that I'm aware of has ever done or tried. And I try to emphasize that so that the crowd, you know, appreciates it. And they do. And so if the crowd's into it, watch out, man, because I'm coming to shoot. You know, if they get real quiet, then it might not be that great of a show. But I'm harder on myself than anybody else is on me. And so I just try to have fun with it. They have fun with it. And at the end of it, everybody's smiling and having a good time.
All right. How many shells will your gun hold? Or what do you shoot to start with? What gun do you shoot at these shows?
Yeah, right now in my shows, I'm shooting a FabArm XLR5 Griffin. And the Griffin is kind of a hybrid between a sporting gun and what you might think of a duck gun. Okay. And the reason I say that is it's got a composite stock, but it's got a flat 30-inch barrel, extended chokes, really solid frame. You know, nobody's harder on a gun than I am. And these things have been incredible for me over the last couple of years. And the coolest thing about it is the trigger is way faster than I am. I can rip out 13 shells in less than 2 seconds. And when you go back on a video, it's like the first shell's hitting the ground and the last one's leaving the gun. And so it's super fast, extremely reliable. And I shoot these guns bone stock. I take them out of the box. I put a Briley carbon fiber extension on it that holds 13 rounds. And then I just shoot it. It's cool to be able to go to a crowd and they're like, man, what all, you got a trigger job and you got this and you got that. And they're like, nope, this is out of the box gun. You know, go down to your local dealer and pick one up.
So you say the extension holds 13 rounds. What's the most clay targets you've thrown up and shot at one time?
I don't really shoot much of anything from the shoulder. And so for me, the most that I've ever shot would be 9. And that ties the world record from the hip. And I've done that several times. I've done it in live shows. It's not something I go out and do a lot because, I'll be honest with you, it's pretty tough on your arm and everything else. But I've done it. And so I can say I've done it.
Yeah.
I hope everybody got to and had the privilege to see Tom Knapp. He used to shoot a lot of stuff from the shoulder and he would throw up 8 or 9 or 10 targets and he'd shoot them and, man, that's impressive. But I don't even know if I've ever tried it. Yeah. You know, I just try to shoot everything from the hip, behind the back, over the head. You know, I try to make it a real trick shot. Not that Tom wasn't doing trick shots. It was just a different style. But nine's enough.
Yeah.
Ten's heavy.
Well, I was going to say, it's got to be difficult throwing them up like that. Don't you have to throw them up just perfect to be able to do that?
You do. You know, the shooting's the easy part. Getting them to all line up to where you can make the shots efficiently and timely, you know, is the challenge. And if everything lines up, it feels pretty smooth. But if it doesn't, it looks like you're just trying to chop at them with a golf club. But, the trick shooting's fun, man. I love it. I love it. I love how much everybody gets out of it. You know, there's people that come to shows and they've never even picked up a shotgun. And the next thing you know, I come back to that same event next year and they got a shotgun. They've been to the range three times and, you know, they watched every instruction video online and listened to the podcast and looked up all my YouTube videos. And so it gets people passionate about the sport, lets them know that it's out there.
Yep. All right. So you're not just a trick shooter. You also were on the PSCA as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. I've always shot sporting clays and I think I don't want to argue about it, but I think I was the youngest to ever get a master. So somebody would have to look at some records, but you know, dad told me that. So it means something, I guess.
So what'd you think about the PSCA? Did you like it?
Oh yeah, man. I loved it. You know, getting us all together and getting us all in one place. You know, there's only 40 or 50 of us, and we were, you know, spending the whole weekend together talking about the pros. And man, that experience of shooting head to head was so fun. Shooting challenging targets early on, we shot a lot of puff targets. Really, I think it changed the game. To be honest with you, I think the targets that we shot in the PSCA kind of have become the norm. You know, you're going to see them out there when you go to a big shoot. And so it's really cool what it's done for the shooters. It's really cool what it's done for the sport. Man, I was so proud to be a part of that.
Yeah. I think everyone's disappointed that it's gone, but it is what it is. And if you don't know what the PSCA is, go look on YouTube. That's about all you're going to get of the PSCA anymore. So,
Yeah. Earlier you called me, I was down in my office. And so I relocated up to upstairs, but upstairs is really actually, it's kind of Dan Carlisle's hotel. And so when you brought up the PSCA, I immediately thought of it because my computer's sitting here on his bed. Dan comes in town 4 or 5 days every month and stays at the house and coaches over at the club. And so, you know, he put his heart and soul in that. And you know, like I said, I was proud to be a part of it.
Travis, weren't you involved in the Great Outdoor Games?
I was. That was a really exciting part of my career back in, I guess, 2003 and 2004. It was a really cool thing put on by ESPN that you had to qualify for. Dad and I went out to Phoenix, Arizona, and I qualified. I guess that was in 2003, and the games that year were in Reno. Really cool, 16 years old, youngest to ever compete in the ESPN Great Outdoor Games. Went out there. If you haven't seen it, you got to look it up on YouTube. It's a really cool format where there's three teal, one up and to the left, one center, and one up and to the right, and two rabbits, one from the left and one from the right. And it was a timed game. All the big dogs were there. I was 16 years old. It was really, you know, it was a big honor to be there. And I took fourth that first year, got an invite for the next year. We were in Madison, Wisconsin. Dad and I trained incredibly hard and went back and won it in 2004 as a 17-year-old. And, you know, that I was already shooting good and All-American and all the other stuff, but at that moment it kind of catapulted me to the next level and, you know, and started picking up some sponsors and it was a really cool time. The next year, we went down to Orlando, and a hurricane hit, and it literally killed the ESPN Great Outdoor Games. But I guess you could say I'm the reigning champ, so I'm happy with that.
So you said you had to qualify for this. What did you have to do to qualify?
Yeah, they had a couple different qualifiers around the country, And you would go there, and it was, you know, similar to what people might think of the PSCA. It was a head-to-head format where you were shooting against everybody else at the event, and it was a timed format. So there would be a target that would come out every 3 seconds. It was five target sequences, and a round would be 20 targets. And so, man, it was all about speed loading and pointing and shooting. And I was shooting an auto at the time, and to this day I don't think that there's anybody in the country that can throw two shells in an auto shotgun faster than I can. And it all kind of stemmed from the great outdoor games.
You're probably right about that. Let me ask you this. This just crossed my mind. Do you think that clay target sports has had all the opportunities that it's going to have to be on TV? As far as the great outdoor games, the PSCA, it seems like neither one has made it. Do you think that's all the opportunities they're really going to get?
No, I don't think so. You know, there's always somebody with a creative idea, and there's always, you know, passionate shooters. So, you know, I think everybody that's in my position would agree that, you know, every 5 years something else pops up, you know. And it also, you know, there's trends in the sport that rotate every 3 to 5 years. And, you know, autos and over and unders, there's a good example. High ribs and low ribs is a good example. You know, ounce and eighth and 1 ounce. I mean, you can keep going on and on. You know, this 5 years, this is really cool and really popular, and the next 5 years is totally opposite. And so, you know, somebody will come in, have a really cool idea, have enough money to back it, and the shooters will come in, and we'll do our best to perform and make it entertaining. So, you know, I hope that we get another chance. I think we will.
It's just, you know, I've always thought about that. I've always thought about the PSCA and what it could have been. Not that it wasn't good, just what it could have been. And, you know, right, with the great outdoor games ending, I'm wondering about that next chance and who's going to do it, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the PSCA was great because it gave a lot of guys a format or, you know, something that we compete in that everybody was used to. The great outdoor game was like totally crazy different than what our normal competition shooting was. And so for me, it was a time to everybody kind of stepped outside of their comfort zone. And you're talking about, you know, really cranking some shells out in a hurry. In my opinion, it was probably the most fun shooting other than trick shooting that I've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the PSCA, I might have said this on the podcast before, but the PSCA is actually what got me involved with shooting.
Really? That's awesome.
I saw an advertisement on TV, and, you know, Sporting Clays was coming on the outdoor channel or whatever channel it was. And there you go. So,
well, maybe you're the guy to take us on the next rodeo.
I'd like to
make it. Let's see how we can make it work.
That's right. So the great outdoor games is what puts you in your mind on that next level.
I think it took me from being a good junior, sub junior shooter to, you know, competing with the big dogs, and, you know, and that's what it felt like to me, because at the time, I mean, I was 16 years old, 17 years old. Dad still drive me to the shoots, and, you know, but I got my chance to shine. And, at that point, Beretta picked me up, and, you know, I had a really good long career with them. I was with Beretta for 15 years and doing both sporting clays and trick shooting. And so, you know, that ran its course. And but I think the great outdoor games just exposed the sport to a lot of people, and it really helped me, you know, continue on what I was passionate about doing.
You've got a pretty long list of accomplishments. Kind of go into which ones stand out, maybe.
Well, there's obviously some favorite ones for me. I think my time at Lindenwood, where the first couple of years I won a few individual championships in various games, but never had the overall. I think the collegiate national championships really high up there. The great outdoor games really high up there. There was 2 years in a row where I tied for high overall in the five stand at the national championship. I think it was 2009. I went down there and tied against Dan Carlisle and one other person. I can't remember. Dan would remember. But either way, shot off. I made a bad choice on a true pair and missed one. Took runner up that year. The next year went back and tied with a 98 with Derek Mine. We shot off and and I ended up beating him in the shoot off. And so, you know, anytime you get a national championship, especially, you know, down at the complex, that stands out in my mind. But there's been a bunch. You know, I won the Texas 4-H championship, which, you know, a lot of people might not know. That's probably one of the hardest shoots in the country to win. Just because, you know, it's fierce competitors and you're shooting all around in every sport. I don't remember what years I won it, but I won it several times. And Dad's got storage units full of plaques and trophies that I'll probably never see again. But it's been a fun run, and I think I've got a bunch more in me. A little bit of a dry spell right now, but I'm still just as mad at those clay targets as I ever was.
You've done a little bit of everything. Started out as a kid all the way up to the PSCA, and I guess you more or less stopped shooting registered targets that aren't close by. Am I correct when I say that because of what you're doing now?
Well, I guess to a certain extent, you know, we're pretty fortunate here in Texas. We don't have to go very far to shoot, you know, big tournaments and good tournaments.
Yeah.
I don't think that my amount of registered targets has ever gone down. You know, I think I'm still shooting about the same amount I've ever always shot.
Okay.
But you know, it's pretty much the same shoots every year. You know, the state shoot, the regionals, the U.S. Open. I'm going to Kansas State next weekend just for the heck of it. It's up at Flint Oak. It's a beautiful club. We're gonna make that run with the family. And then I'll shoot some locals around DFW. We've got some great clubs and great shoots. So yeah, man, I try to shoot as much as I can, but I'm juggling a lot of balls with the, you know, with the trick shooting, with the gun club, with the trying to stay competitive in sporting clays. And then my family, I mean, I got to save time for them. I've got two young kids. My son River is 3 years old, and my daughter's 5 and a half. Her name's Lakin. And then my wife and I, we've known each other our entire life, grew up a mile from each other. And, you know, I chased her all the way through high school, and we finally caught each other in college. We've been married for 10 and a half years and rocking along. So juggling all that stuff, traveling, put a lot of windshield time in. I might not shoot as much as or as many or whatever as I used to, but I feel like I do, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a busy life. So you're talking about your gun club, Defender Outdoors. This looks this looks like a cool place. I got on your website. Nice website, by the way. But go into telling the people that don't know about Defender Outdoors in Texas what you do there.
Yeah, I kind of start from the beginning. When I got out of school, I went to work for Nationwide Insurance, got my license, selling insurance, having a good time, trying to make it. And not long after that, we sold the agency, and I went to work for an oil and gas company. For a big family here in Fort Worth, and we rocked along, did that for several years, and that was kind of during that PSCA time. And then we eventually sold that company, and I all there at the end when the acquisition was coming, we were putting together the deal and trying to get it closed. But all the time during that, and I was working on a business plan, and so any spare minute I had, I was in Excel running models and trying to figure out how I was going to make this work. And because when I was sitting in that high rise, you know, we're 29 stories up in downtown Fort Worth, sitting in a suit and tie, but all I could think about was getting out to go hunting or getting out to go shooting. And so I started putting together this business plan, and when the time was right, I made a run for it and started meeting with landowners, started meeting with folks that would be good partners, and eventually found a really good ranch. This is the last undeveloped ranch on the west side of Fort Worth. It's on Loop 820, which is the loop around Fort Worth. When you're standing on Station 6 on our main course, you're looking at downtown Fort Worth. So we're talking, you know, a 12-minute drive. And so it started really small. I started in a little, you know, $40 pop-up tent with my computer plugged into the outlet in my truck, and my wife, you know, checking people in. I was running around wrenching traps and setting birds and running leagues and man, we started really small. But we put a lot of effort into doing something, a new project, you know, every time we could. And mm-hmm. so that's one really cool that people, one thing that, you know, people still say, every time that they come to the range, they see something new. And we're only 3 years old, but we've come a long ways. We've got 2 12 station courses and a 6 station super sporting, nice little pro shop, pretty small. We're trying to, you know, expand on that next, an event pavilion that is, you know, I can't imagine the amount of people that have been through that thing in the last 3 years. Just having a good time with it. We've been successful. I've got an incredible team. Most of them have been with me from the beginning, and man, we blow and go. And, so that's a part of our business. We've got the outdoor range, but, I partnered up with, some other guys that were doing some really cool stuff, Will and Matt and Eric, and they already had Defender Outdoors, which was the largest indoor range in North Texas. It's 43,000 square foot of indoor shooting paradise. I think it's 26 pistol bays, 8 rifle bays, a huge retail floor. If it's outdoors, ammo, guns, or any other stuff, clothing, man, we've got it. And so when I started the range and partnered with these guys, it opened up an incredible amount of doors for us as far as having the ability to reach out to vendors and get things that we needed in a timely manner. And when it was time to build something, we were able to, you know, find the money to do it. And so it's been really cool jumping into, you know, that whole partnership, and the four of us get along really well, and we've made some big strides in the last 3 years, and they were rock and rolling for 2 years before I came in. So, man, it's a blessing. We do a lot of cool stuff.
So is all of this on the same property?
No, the indoor range is just on the northwest side of Fort Worth, downtown Fort Worth. And so, for my range, it's about, you know, 15-minute drive from downtown. It's a, you know, 3-minute drive. Really cool location, old building. And, but when, you know, obviously we make it look really cool.
So it's your Clay Target range, what you call Clay Sports Ranch. Don't you have Clay Target leagues, ladies night, stuff like that going on there?
We do. For me growing up, league was always, you know, really cool, and I was involved in as many as we possibly could. And so that was the first thing that I did even before I opened, you know, 3 or 4 months before I opened. We hosted a league, and we called Pre-Nationals Warm-Up League. And I think I started it in September, and, you know, had a bunch of people show up. And I'm telling you, at that time, it was a pop-up tent with my computer plugged into my truck and just a wide-open cattle ranch and some traps thrown out there. And we continued on with leagues. I ended up opening January 31st of that next year. And from that point forward, we've hosted 6 leagues a year. We've got the Polar Bear League, which is, you know, in the colder months. Then we roll right into the Spring League, which we're finishing up this week. We've got the party next week. Then the Summer League will start. Then we go into the Dove Warm-Up League, and then the Fall League. And so those are the leagues throughout the year. And I think they're the biggest leagues in the state. We average anywhere from 160 to 230 shooters in our leagues, 50 targets a week for 6 to 8 weeks, depending on which one it is. And, man, it's, formed a lot of friends, guys that come out and shoot with each other all the time that didn't know each other from Adam before they joined league. And in my opinion, that's what league's all about. I think it's the best way to get better because it's consistent shooting. You have to come out once a week and shoot. And it's super easy and social. So it's just a lot of fun. It's brought a lot of really cool people to the club.
Are you holding registered shoots there now?
We are. Yeah, we've held registered shoots from the beginning. I don't remember how many we had the first year, maybe 6, I think. Mm-hmm. All good shoots, had a lot of, you know, good folks show up. But they've continued to get bigger and bigger. Like I said, we're in our 3rd year now. And the first shoot, I mistakenly named the shoot Snowing Clays. This was, I think, January 18th was the date. and name the chute Snowing Clays. We pick these dates and names, you know, 6-8 months prior. Yeah. I don't know how I hit it. It never snows in Texas, but it came a blizzard on the Snowing Clays NSCA chute. And yeah. So the folks that were able to get out of their house and make it had a blast because, you know, we don't get to experience that very often. But then we've had a shoot each month since then, and we've averaged well over 200, I think 217, 252, and the last one was 206. Wow. We don't have an NSCA shoot in May, but we've got a 2-day that's in June that it's the biggest shoot every year. It's called Longbird Shortbird, on our range course, which is, you know, everybody kind of calls our main. Is every station will have one bird that's outside of 35 yards and one bird that's inside of 20. And so we call it the long bird, short bird shoot. And it's been a big one every year. And so this year we made it to 2-day. And we also added in the TSCA Texas Subgauge Challenge, which is it's a rotating opportunity to shoot, you know, 100 target subgauge. And so we're going to do both of those on the same weekend. June 5th and 6th. I think it's like close to 800 targets. You can shoot it anytime you want from, you know, start to finish Saturday to Sunday. It'd be cool.
Yeah. You just got finished shooting Texas State this year, correct?
I did.
Yeah. And it was at the, what was it, at San Antonio?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Where's it going to be at next year?
Well, exciting news. We're going to be hosting the Texas State shoot next year. So it'll be April 27th through May 1st of 2022. You know, the last several years, it's been down at the National Shooting Complex, which is an incredible venue. And but next year, we're going to bring the state shoot up to North Texas. Hasn't been up here in a long time. Everybody's super excited. You know, everybody's wondering how we're going to do it because, you know, we're only 3 years old and we only have two courses and a half course. But every day I get to answer that question. We're going to have 9 courses. We're going to use up 500 acres of this cattle ranch, and we're going to make it happen. It's going to be a good time. We're going to show everybody what Cowtown's all made of.
You know, it's pretty neat to think that just 3 years ago you were working out of a tent and a computer in your truck. Now you're hosting the Texas State for 2022.
Man, those were simple days.
I mean,
it was just me and some traps God, man, I think back to sometimes how far we've come just from the fact that we have two, you know, semi-trailers, you know, dumpsters now. Back then, at the end of the day, I'd stand around a barrel until I burned all the boxes. That's how little things were back then.
Yeah. Yeah. When you started back then, I'm just thinking, when you started, did you wonder, man, I don't know if I made the right move with this? Did that ever cross your mind?
Never.
Yeah.
Never. Man, I was putting so much blood, sweat, and tears into it, and my family was too, with the hours that I was going. It was a daylight till well after dark, you know, every day. And so there wasn't time to doubt it. You just got to pedal forward and make it happen. And like I said, they came out in groves, and they've come out in groves ever since.
That's good. Now, are you what do you offer at your club? Do you have coaching? Do you have any kind of classes or anything like that?
We do. I'll kind of go through some of the, you know, the stuff we're known for. We're open to the public, but we have a membership program, which is kind of a discount program, where you get a certain amount of targets per month. We have a lot of people that have joined in that. Each one of our stations at the club is a 10x10 wooden cabana with a metal A-frame roof, which is important in Texas, whether it's raining, snowing in January or in July when it's 110. You know, those big cages were a hefty investment from the beginning, but we had some great station sponsors that came in and helped us do that. It's been a great feature. Yeah. Some really cool things have introduced people to the club and to the sport. We do a ladies' night about every 4 to 6 weeks, and we make it super fun. It's really cool because we have ladies show up that have never picked up a gun. We have ladies show up that have, you know, earned master class. And the way we run it is everybody shows up. I call all my buddies up and we have instructors. And so we'll put groups of four together. And, you know, you get it again, we're thinking back to a couple years ago where three or four ladies, which, well, now the norm is, you know, 40 to 60. And, you know, they're all bringing their friends. And so it's gotten bigger and bigger over the years, and new ladies have showed up. And we'll go out and shoot for an hour, hour and a half, make sure everybody breaks some birds, learns a little bit about shooting, has a good time, smiles. Then we bring them back to the pavilion. We serve up a bunch of meats and cheeses and crackers and wine and beer. And, man, they sit around and cackle and have a good time. And it's really brought a lot of ladies into the range. It's kind of funny. In our league now, we have to have ladies team awards because there's so many teams of just ladies. It's really cool.
Wow. That is neat. It's always, you know, I've always mentioned bringing more women into the sport. That's a great way to do it by having a ladies' night.
If you want a kitchen pass, just take your wife.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You go over there and shoot with them. I'm going to stay over here.
I got a funny story about that because, my dad, you know, I've got two sisters. My older sister, Katie, lives down in the Austin area. And my younger sister, Kelly, she lives out in California. But, you know, they were always super active, especially my younger sister, Chase, in softball. So mom and my sister would run off and they'd be softball, you know. Mm-hmm. And me and dad, we'd be at the range. And so it was one of those deals where on Friday we split, you know, Sunday we come back home.
Yeah.
And so mom's really never showed any interest in competing or shooting. You know, obviously she supported me and rooted me on at any of the big shoots that she could come to. But about 2 years ago, and maybe because I'm always out there and she wanted to see me, but about 2 years ago, mom decided she wanted to start shooting. And so, we got her, you know, one of my old worn out, you know, bred autos, and, we got a Winnick stock put on it. And, so dad's going to be working like another 20 years. because my mom shoots more than he does. I think she's at the club 2 or 3 days a week shooting, and she's got a posse of friends that travel around and go all over the country shooting. So really cool to see somebody that never had any interest in it around it, had the access to it, never had any interest in it, and now is super passionate about it. And, you know, is traveling around making memories. So it's cool.
Well, she's got time for it now. Back then she didn't have time for it. You know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So have you brought up the automatic again. Have you always shot an automatic?
Oh, I shot an auto from the beginning till probably, I don't know. I put together an over and under when I went to Lindenwood, and I had sent it down to Briley and got some tubes put in it. And because going up there, I thought we were going to be shooting registered skeet, registered sporting clays, registered trap, all this stuff. So I wanted to have a gun that would be, you know, four gun ready for skeet. Mm-hmm. And so I started shooting over and under, didn't shoot as well. So I went right back to what I was used to. And then when I graduated, went back to an over and under, and shoot a CZ Green Invictus 3 now, which is an incredible shotgun. Like I said earlier, I'm hard on all my stuff, and it's never let me down. Shoots really good for me. But every time I pick up an auto, man, I just know in the back of my head, that's where I need to be.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think everybody thinks that way. You know,
I think we'd all be better if we still shot autos, you know, really do.
Be a whole lot simpler, wouldn't it? Just shoot automatic.
They're so easy to point and make corrections. I'll go back to an auto. I just ain't there yet, I guess.
Now what shells, what do you shoot when you're doing your trick shows?
That's a frequent question.
Yeah.
I shoot whatever's laying around.
Really matter, does it?
No, it doesn't matter at all, man. I'm spraying and praying. So yeah. I'm shooting in sporting clays. I shoot a Fiocchi Little Rhino, 1 ounce 1258. Mm-hmm. And so in my trick shows, that's typically the shell that's going to be shot. Also shoot a lot of the shooting dynamics. Again, same specs, 1 ounce 1250. Typically I shoot eights, but you know, nothing special. There was a time where I was shooting certain guns that I had to shoot an ounce and an eight just to get it to cycle. But with this Fabarm Griffin, man, I can shoot a 1 ounce from the hip one handed and that thing will cycle all day long. And so I just, shoot whatever I've got.
Yeah. Well, what else you got coming up? Are you going to the US Open this year?
I am super excited about that.
I booked my hotel today.
Shooting. Oh, good. Yeah, I'll be staying with my squad. I'm squatted with the same guys as always, Greg Wolf, Corey Cruz, Anthony Madrese. And so try to keep those guys out of trouble. And we got a house, you know, over there by the gun club. And so it ought to be fun. I haven't been up there in several years to Claythorne, but I've always enjoyed it in the past. So easy drive, and it'll be a good time.
Yeah, I think Anthony and I have something planned for that shoot for the podcast. So I can't say anything yet. We haven't talked about it much, just a little bit. So it would be really cool if we get to do it. But it sounds like you might awesome. You might be a part of it. Sounds like if you're going to be around.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
What else you got coming up in the future?
Next weekend, we're going up to Kansas, again, Flint Oak. And then I've got to show up in New York for Orvis. And then July is always slow and hot, and so we'll take that off for a little bit. Daughter turns 6 in July. Then we roll right into August. August is a mess, I'll be honest with you. I'm on the road a lot in August. I'm doing a trick show at the AIM Championship for ATA. And then I go back the next week after that to do a show for the Grand American. And then from there, that'll be Thursday night. Thursday night, I got to fly up to Minnesota, and I shoot at the Game Fair, which is it's the largest game fair in the world and really cool outdoors event. 60,000 people run through that thing in 6 days. And so I do 2 shows a day for 6 days. And then after that, man, we start rolling into hunting season and shooting starts to fade. But I try to hold myself together through nationals. They really bummed me when they moved it from September to October. But I, you know, I fight through it and try to make it work.
Yeah. So you'd rather be doing something else than going to nationals at that time, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't miss nationals for nothing. I think this last one was my 21st in a row.
Wow.
But that's also bow season and kind of the first week of the rut. So, you know, I'm a little distracted.
Yeah.
Luckily, we've got a ranch that's a couple hours from the gun club down there. So a couple of years ago, I was out there on the main event, the final day, and I was checking my cameras, and there was a buck that was getting pretty frequent. And so I told the guys, I was like, man, as soon as we're done, I'm headed to the ranch, and I'm going to kill this deer in the morning. And sure enough, I went up there the next morning, and he did everything he'd been doing the days prior and able to, you know, put an arrow in him. And that's about the best combo where I can, you know, shoot a tournament and shoot a buck in a 2-day span.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you had to make it back to the gun club to finish shooting.
Yeah.
Well, Travis, I appreciate you coming on. Look forward to seeing you at the U.S. Open and talking with you there. But I wish you all the luck in the world with Defender Outdoors and your club and hope you do well.
I appreciate it. I didn't get to talk much about my family, but I want to mention them real quick. Like I said earlier, my son River is 3 and my daughter Lakin is about to turn 6 in July. And my wife, I mentioned her earlier, but I didn't say her name, Raylan. We've been married for 10 years. Grew up together, chased her, and she ended up coming up to Lindenwood with me that final year to get her master's. But the way they support me, whether it's in sporting clays, trick shooting, or at the range, couldn't do any of it without them. And I, you know, wouldn't feel right if I didn't get to thank them and my parents for, you know, supporting me over the years. You know, super excited about what you're doing with the podcast. Anytime I'm on the road, I dial in and make sure that I'm listening to whatever's new. And so thank you for, you know, putting this good content out and getting all these guys on here and making them open up and tell us all the secrets, right?
Yeah, that's right. You would think, somebody said the other day, Justin, as much as you talk to all these pro shooters, why can't you shoot any better than you do? I don't have time to practice. So it was funny. It just made me laugh because that's the truth. I mean, if you really sit here, if you think about it and talk to all these guys and hear all the tricks and tips, and you would think, all right, well, let me go out here and do this. And then you don't, you kind of, you know, wonder about yourself a little bit. But anyway, you got anybody else you want to thank?
Oh, my team at the range, man, we work hard. We do 125 shoots a year plus these big NSCA shoots. And like I said, many of them have been with me from the beginning, Connie and Gary and Catherine, Sarah, Sonia, the guys outside, Jeremy, Nathan, Mark, Flint, all those guys, any of the guys that shoot at my club know each and one of those, because, you know, one thing that we wanted to do from the beginning is make the gun club a family. And so you walk in the club, everybody knows your name, everybody's got a smile on their face. And that entire group that I just mentioned has done that from day one. And I think it has a lot to do with our success. But just hard work, grit, and big smiles goes a long ways.
What about your sponsors, Travis?
Man, I've got some great sponsors, and you know, always the first conversation I have with someone when we start that discussion is, you know, I'm coming in for the long run. And so if you're good with that, I'm good with it. And so far I've got some really, really good partners. I'm shooting a CJ Greeny and selling a lot of CJ Greenies in the pro shop there at the range. Shooting the Fab Arms, which, you know, everybody knows that that's under the same mothership company. Shooting the Fab Arms in my trick shows. And, you know, man, I put a lot of Fiocchi range shells down range, you know, both in the trick shows and sporting clays. You know, super excited about that. And then, you know, every club we go to across the country, we shoot white flyers. We started, you know, working together a couple of years ago, both buying them at the club and then working with them as a shooter, and excited about that partnership. I think I mentioned earlier, Winning Custom Gun Stocks, like, they're the best in the business, and they've been building stocks for me since I was 12 years old. You know, I've learned a lot from them. They've learned a lot from me about kind of what sporting guys want. And if you go in there with an idea and they've got their ideas, you're going to come out of there with a gun that points exactly the way you want it to. And so that's always been a real benefit to my game, I think. It's never been a question about my fit. Both at the club and even before I had the club, met Clay Target Machines. My buddy Buck Heath with Heath Sporting down in Burney. You know, he's been moving mechs all around the country and works a bunch of big shoots and sells traps. And he introduced me to mech early on, and super excited about that partnership and using them. And then a lot like the rest of the guys shooting Pilas, I think they're the best in the business. Took a couple years off of shooting Pila glasses. And when I went back, I regretted that I didn't shoot them. I mean, it's just a simple fact that they're the best. And I think, you know, really important, the first company that ever stepped up and helped me, just like they've helped so many other kids and so many other people, was Briley down in Houston. Mm-hmm. And make great chokes, great tubes, gunsmithing, good folks, just as steady as you can be. Man, they started helping me when I was like 10, 11 years old, and here I am 34, and they're still stepping up to the plate. And I'm loyal to them just as much as they are me.
Yep. Good people at Briley, and
no doubt. Good
warranty on the stuff that they sell as well, which is a big deal to me. So
I agree.
All right, man. Well, I'll let you go. I know it's getting late. I know you got things to do. So we'll catch up with you here soon. And like I said, good luck with what you got going on.
Sounds good. Thank you, Justin. We'll see you in Kansas, bud.
All right, man. We'll see you.